Good morning, folks. Those of you seated where you can see the nativity here in the center of the chancel, and I know all of you can't, but those of you who can will notice that there's something new this morning. The wise men have arrived. They weren't there on Christmas Sunday. They weren't there on Christmas Eve. They weren't even there last Sunday. The shepherds were, Mary and Joseph, and the baby, Jesus, were, but the Magi were not. Now the shepherds have gone back to their flocks, and the wise men have come. It may be something of a surprise to discover that the church doesn't celebrate the coming of the wise men to the manger in Bethlehem until 12 days after Christmas, January 6th, the Epiphany. And of course, today is the Sunday just before Epiphany. And although our Christmas card theology kind of mixes it all up, sometimes rather indiscriminately, you know, the shepherds, the angels, Mary and Joseph and the baby, the stable, the wise men, the star. The biblical story separates some of those figures. And the wise men actually arrived sometime after Jesus' birth because for them it was a long journey to Bethlehem. Now, someone has suggested that the scene might have been a bit different if the Magi had been three wise women rather than men. Now, first of all, the women probably would have asked directions and gotten there on time. They would have cleaned out the stable. Probably helped deliver the baby. They probably would have brought practical gifts and maybe even baked a casserole. And there would have been peace on earth. Maybe so, but I guess we'll never know, will we? Because the story in the Bible tells us that wise men in the east saw a star in the night sky. And we know now that what they saw probably was a triple conjunction of three planets, Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars, seen between 6 and 4 BC. And that display occurs once every 800 years. The scientist and astronomer Kepler verified it in 1604. We're told it will appear again in 2404. A theology professor I had in seminary used to be fond of saying, you and I will view it from above, if at all. Well, never had these wise men heard anything like this before or seen anything like this before. They were convinced, however, that the new star had some special meaning. And so systematically they began to search through the literature of the peoples in other parts of the Mediterranean world, other countries near where they lived. And they came upon the writings of the prophets of Judah and of Israel concerning the coming of a prince of peace who one day would bring in the kingdom of God on earth. And they concluded that this new star was a sign that such prophecy was about to be fulfilled. So they saddled up their camels and set out on their long journey to find the new king that the star seemed to be announcing. And finally, arriving in Jerusalem, they surprised King Herod by announcing the purpose of their journey. And quickly consulting his scholars, the king learned that indeed Jewish prophets had spoken of a new king to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And so Herod sent them on to that small town just 7 miles south of Jerusalem. And he gave them instructions to let him know if and when they found the child. Well, now these These men weren't called wise without a reason. They figured Herod out pretty quickly. And when they had found where Jesus was born and had made their worshipful visit and had presented their gifts, they quickly turned around and headed toward home without returning to Jerusalem. And then, of course, Herod, having realized that he'd been tricked, and having learned from the Magi that they'd first seen the star as long as 2 years ago, sent out that terrible order to the captain of the guard to slay every baby boy in the city of Bethlehem who was under age 2. But not before the Holy Family had fled south across the desert into Egypt. Now, Myrna and I have visited a little church in the very heart of Cairo, in Cairo's old city, that is built over the house where it's believed that Mary and Joseph and Jesus lived until word reached them that Herod had died and that it was safe for them to return. A small Jewish community still exists there in the very center of Cairo, where over 2,000 years ago, Jews welcomed the Holy Family as they sought refuge. Well, back to the wise men. The Magi were Zoroastrian astrologers from Persia, Iran today, and they believed that the meaning of life was discernible in the stars. And it's interesting that Zoroastrian studies of stars were so carefully and scientifically determined that the astronomical tables, which existed more than 2,500 years ago, are not all that different from the ones used in navigation even today. The wise men were scientists of the ancient world, and their long journey to Bethlehem has something important to say, I think, for us who live today in a scientific age. And so this morning, I'd like to suggest that there may be three reasons why the wise men arrived late to Bethlehem. The first is obvious. They had to come a long way. They couldn't have arrived as soon as the shepherds did, because the shepherds only had to come a short distance from outside Bethlehem into the city, maybe a mile or two at the most. But the wise men had to come from another country. And don't you suppose that it may be true also for someone in our time looking at life through the lens of science? A scientist has a long journey to the manger because he or she lives a considerable distance away. In fact, you could say that a person of science lives in a different world. The arena of science and the arena of faith often seem worlds apart. And the journey into the world of faith is long indeed for wise men and women of the world of science and knowledge. Scientists, you know, write descriptively, as do historians, dealing with facts as they observe them. People of religious faith tend to express more poetically and symbolically the same facts of experience that they may not fully understand. And therefore, they attribute to divine mystery those experiences that are beyond a rational description and scientific discovery. And it can be, and often is, a long journey of many years for a person steeped in science to come to a faith experience of Jesus Christ. That was the journey of the wise men of old, and that's the journey of many who live in a modern scientific age. The second reason, I think, that the wise men were late is that there was an obstacle in their way. They had to cross a desert. And maybe it's something like that for some of us. It's not easy to move from a world of science to a world of faith. There can be obstacles in the way that are just as real as the desert that the Magi had to cross. Young people may seem particularly aware of some of those obstacles. And perhaps that's because they tend to be less reticent about expressing their doubts. And for some people, doubt is an obstacle to faith. And yet even the great St. Augustine once concluded that someone who has not harbored a genuine doubt probably has not experienced genuine faith. And for Augustine, it was a very long journey through doubt, through sin, through arrogance and stubbornness, finally to faith. For some, the church itself may be an obstacle. Some people become disillusioned because the modern church may appear to be pretty similar to what Jesus spoke out against in his day. Full of sinners and hypocrites. And it may be a long journey for some of those folks to the discovery that a congregation of God's people is a collection of human beings with lots of human failings, but each on their own journey to Bethlehem. And for some, the church's theology is an obstacle, maybe as daunting as the desert itself. Yet some have discovered that doctrine is not the last word, and they've been really turned on to the authenticity, the simplicity, and the ethical righteousness of Jesus through musical dramas such as Godspell or Jesus Christ Superstar. There are many obstacles in the way for every thinking person in the 21st century, just as the desert was an obstacle for the wise men of old. And the third reason, I think, that the wise men arrived late is that they took their time. Now, that doesn't mean that they dawdled. But after they observed the star, they had to discover what it meant. And a lot of research went into that. Scouring the written records and the religious literature of people in neighboring countries. And then they had to travel. And that took more time. You see, no scientific research that is worthy of the name is ever done in a hurry. No valid scientific result is ever obtained by jumping to conclusions. Many of us will remember vividly how frightening the polio epidemic was for parents and for their children each summer during the first half of the 20th century. And then the Salk vaccine, introduced in 1955, all but put an end to polio in the United States. And it was heralded as a miracle. But that miracle occurred after years of labor and scientific research by Jonas Salk and his team. Perhaps it's somewhat similar for those who are on a serious faith journey. That takes time, too. And for each of us, the timing may be different. We need to take our own time and make our own journey at our own speed to our own experience of faith. One day we may discover that the answers to the questions we memorized as children in catechism class and the answers to what life is all about that we learned in Sunday school as kids are no longer the answers we need as adults. They don't go deep enough. It's like we wake up one morning and realize that's just not the way life is for us at a particular point in our lives. And so then, with all due respect to our parents, our grandparents, and even our Sunday school teachers, we lay aside the second-hand religion of our childhood, and we begin the essential task of building our own faith system as adults and finding our own meaning in life, the task of doing our own research and study and thinking, our own theology, and that takes time. And often that's why Often that's why young people seem to stand off from the church for a while during their late teen and young adult years. And their parents may, and grandparents may get a bit upset about that. And yet it may be part of the necessary time-taking on a person's journey of faith. And usually, if parents can be supportive of their sons and daughters who have embarked on their own faith journeys, they will find that their own adult children, too, will get to Bethlehem sooner or later, as the Magi did long ago. Now, folks, for some of us here this morning, our journeys to Bethlehem may have been long or relatively short. And in either case, we have arrived and received the assurance that Jesus is our King, our Lord, and our Savior. But for others, you still may be on the journey, and that's okay. It can be a long one. Don't give up. Keep on following the star as others have, and you too will get to Bethlehem. And it may be that there are some of you who have yet to really begin the journey. Perhaps you've been searching for new meaning in your life and for a religious tradition that really makes sense to you, and for a faith that will undergird you and sustain you through difficult times that you may be experiencing. Well, it's not too late to begin your journey to Bethlehem, even today. Pray that God will guide you even as He guided the wise men by the star, and you won't be alone. There are others here, even beside you this morning, who also are on the journey, and they'll be with you if you'll let them. So be assured that however long your journey is, you will get to Bethlehem and find the one who will bless you with new and abundant life. And better late than never. Amen.